hear the word of God as we read from 1 Corinthians, starting at chapter 2, verse 14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I give you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and the other, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? This is the word of God.
Father, thank you that we are part of your people. Thank you for adopting us into your family. And we pray now that as we come and learn together from the word of God, that, Lord, this morning you will speak into our hearts and lives from the word, and we pray by your Spirit that we'll be put on a road that will enable us so to live our lives that when you come back again, oh, we'll hear you say to us, well done, well done. May we so live, so act and think and play, that will drive us each morning to live for you. Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Now, my dear friends, as you know, on Sunday mornings we're busy working through 1 Corinthians, and we're going to do that again today. And I want to share a passage with you this morning, if you'll open it to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which Susie read to us, and from verse 14 to chapter 3 and verse 4. And can I suggest to you, as we start this passage today, that it really is a very challenging passage. It's one of those passages that when you and I open the Bible, we say to ourselves, and me above everybody else, where do I fit in? You see, we live in a world today where the world has divided up people. We sadly lived in a country for many, many years that was forcibly divided into racial groups. And many of the problems go back to that, don't they? You see, you belong to this group, you belong to that group, that's where you can go, that's where you can't go. Those were horrible days. We divided up people. Today, people are divided. They are rich, others are poor. Some are educated, others are not educated. Some are good looking, others may not be good looking in our opinion. But we always divide up people. Now, what I want to show you this morning is, how does God look at people? It's wonderful to know that he doesn't look at class. He doesn't look at color. What does God look at? And what you will notice from this passage this morning, dear friends, is that before God, there are three classes of people. And what I want you to do this morning, if I may humbly ask it of you, is as I take you through these, I want you to say to yourself, is that me? Am I in that group? Is that where I fit in? So first of all then, from this passage that was read to us, we get a picture of what is known as the natural man. Look with me from verse 14. It says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So the first type of person we find in our world today from a biblical perspective is what is known as the natural man. Of course, the natural woman, the natural person. Who is this? They may be very cultured people. They may be very refined people. They may be highly intelligent people. They may be very good people, very good, clean, moral, living people. But they are natural people. Because the natural man or woman is the person that has not received the Holy Spirit into their lives. That's the simple answer to that. They are unregenerate. So by natural, you understand the unrenewed person. The person who's still under the influence of their human nature. They have never yet been born again by the grace and mercy of God as the Holy Spirit has drawn them to Christ. In simple terms, we could say that this refers to the person who is a stranger to the new birth. They live on a purely material plane without being touched by the Spirit of God. If I may, just for a moment, when I go back to my mom's service, there were a lot of people there. And it was terrific to see many people that both my mother and my dad had led to Christ, as I've mentioned. But at that service, there were also some people that were known to us from the sporting world. Lovely people, but absolutely natural. And our deep prayer was that God would have used that service to bring them to Christ. Because they live every day on a material plane. There's never been a real experience when they've met with God. They are natural people. Now, how do I know? What are the characteristics of this natural person? Well, notice in verse 14 that there are two. The first characteristic you will find is that they have no appreciation for spiritual things. It's not that they're anti. It's not that they're opposed. It's just that they are disinterested. And there is no deep appreciation for the things of God. So, for example, you will find that if you had to say to them, do you read the Bible? Well, of course they don't, because they're too busy or they're too involved. They've got no time. Or do you spend time in prayer? Well, of course they don't, because they're busy. They're running around. It's not important to them. On Sundays, would you go into the house of God like you and I are this morning? I remember when I had the great joy, friends, of leading my mother to Christ. I remember kneeling down with that lady as she surrendered her life to Christ and my dad. And they used to be the champions at the cricket club. The tennis club. My mother was the tennis champion for the women, my dad for the men. And that's where we lived on the weekends. And then they became Christians. So come Sunday and they go to church. I'll never forget hearing phone calls saying, hey Rod, where are you? Why weren't you at tennis? Say, hey, I was in church. What? Are you becoming religious? That's what happened. Say, no. I'm not becoming religious. I've become a Christian. It was unbelievable, you see. But until that day, we never had grace at meals. Bible was never read. Never hardly went to church, except for like this morning, a baptism or a Christmas. You see, were you anti? No. Were you opposed? No. But you see, there was no appreciation. There was no deep love for the things of God. That's the natural man. Number two, not only is there no appreciation, but there's no comprehension of spiritual things. It says he cannot understand them. That's the natural person. So you will talk about Christ and they won't understand you. They're natural people. They govern by their own nature. There's no spirit living in their lives. So they cannot understand. They are spiritually discerned. One commentator by the name of Findlay, he put it so nicely when he says they are like deaf people judging music. It's an excellent illustration, isn't it? It's what they like. They are natural people. Now please forgive me this morning if it comes home a bit hard, but may I ask you, is that perhaps you this morning? You've never yet been soundly born again and allowed God's Spirit to come and live in your life and to transform your life. Natural. Natural. That's the first person that you find on our world. Let's come to number two now. Right the other end of the scale, friends, is the spiritual person. See verse 15? The spiritual man. Now what does Paul say about this person? Here are people that by the kindness and mercy and love of God have realized that they are sinners. And they've put their trust in Jesus Christ and have invited Him into their lives. And slowly, as they've got into the Bible and slowly as they've got into the things of God, they've begun to grow and they've begun to mature and they've begun to have a nature transformed. They've gone away from natural people to spiritual people. Now what do you see in them, friends? How do you pick them up? What will you notice in their lives? Well, the first thing that you notice is that they are capable of discernment. Isn't that an amazing verse? How it struck me when I was preparing this for you. Listen to it one more time. The spiritual person, the spiritual man, makes judgments about all things. Isn't that an amazing thought, that? So here's the mature Christian. And because the Spirit is living in their lives and they're governed by the Bible and they're growing in Christ, they have the ability to discern. They're able to come to you and they're able to help me. And they're able to say, that's a wise decision. That's not a wise decision. That's what I think you should do, but I wouldn't think you should do this. This is how I think you should react, but I don't think you should do this. And you know what, friends? The spiritual person makes judgment about all things. Not just about the Bible things. Not only the things of the Spirit, but the things that belong to everyday living as well. Because God's Spirit is living in us, we're able to make a judicious opinion about all things. So for me, when I need a decision to be made, when I need help, who do I go to? I may not go to a professional, but I'll phone up some of you in our church and say, please, can you help me? But you know who I phone? I phone the spiritually mature man, the spiritually mature woman, because they can make wise decisions. You must be careful who you go to for advice and for counsel. You must be careful. You see, he has an amazing thought. They are capable of discernment. And number two, they are a cause of amazement. It says, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. It's a lovely verse that. Some of you read the Living Bible. The Living Bible paraphrases that verse in this way. The spiritual person has insight that bothers and baffles the man of the world. Isn't that nice? That's what it is. They baffled. They bothered. You see, the unregenerate person is never able to understand the motives and the viewpoints of those who are regenerate to those who are dominated by the Holy Spirit. In my little experience, I don't think I'll ever get a more wonderful letter than my son. My younger son, he's an attorney, as some of you know, and he wrote to me a letter after my mother's service, and it was incredibly moving. I will never get a letter like it, I don't think, ever again. And at the end, he said this. He says, Dad, as I go back to my firm in Cape Town, I begin a new life. I begin a new life following the example of Granny. That's how I want to live. You see, a spiritual person making an incredible impact on a young lawyer's life. Don't you want that? I do. See, when your lives touch other lives and you leave a mark for eternity, the natural man has gone here and gone tomorrow, may make millions, but that means absolutely nothing, friends. It's character. The natural man, the spiritual man. Capable of discernment, cause of amazement. Then just lastly, and then we'll get you some tea. There's a third person from chapter 3 from verse 1. And very sadly, they are classed as the worldly person. Listen to the word of God again. He says, brothers, see, it's Christians. He says, I could not address you as spiritual. Isn't that a horrible thing? I couldn't address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Instead, you are still not ready. So my dear brothers, my sisters in Christ, I hope you're not here today. Classed as a worldly Christian. Now how do you know? What do you notice about this person? Well, the first thing is their immaturity. He says, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. And you know, with all the love in the world, that is a true statement, isn't it? That there are people, have they given their lives to Christ? The answer is yes. Have they grown? No. Have they matured? No, they haven't. They've stayed like the Corinthians, as mere infants in Christ. There's been no development. Now, immaturity during infancy is normal. But if that condition is prolonged, the result is monstrous. It's monstrous. The second thing you notice about the worldly person is their diet. Paul says to them, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. So here were these Christians at Corinth, still on milk. Still on milk. never growing into the meat and the solid food. And so you contrast them with a spiritual person. It's such a big difference. The spiritual person has spent lots of time in the Bible, in reading good, solid literature that's going to help them mature and develop. But the immature Christian, still on milk. Still reading and touching on the surface. There's very little growth. It's a very immature, still living on milk. And thirdly, what are the marks? How will you see it playing out in their lives? Well, the first thing says Paul, he says you are still worldly, for there is jealousy. Jealousy. Look at other Christians and are jealous. Because they're growing and they're maturing and they're becoming spiritual and I'm still staying here. And that does happen. It does happen. And it may even be true for someone here. Jealous of another Christian. Not only jealousy, but secondly, quarreling. When the devout, mature, spiritual person goes, they produce life and tranquility and harmony. But the worldly person always quarrels. Where they are, there's always strife. And thirdly, division. So they say, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. Division. John Calvin lived in the mid-1500s, as you know. Listen to what he wrote all those hundreds of years ago. The proof is in the effect. Jealousy, disputes, and factions are fruit of the flesh. We can be sure that whoever they are to be seen, there flourishes the root. These evils held sway among the Corinthians. Paul shows us so clearly that they are carnal. They are worldly. And so, my precious friends, I ask myself, where am I? Where do I stand? Doesn't come through how old you are or how long you've been a Christchurch or how long you've been a Christian. It comes from what you're eating. It comes from how time you're spending with Christ and putting off the old and putting on the new. And as God looks into your own heart this morning, would he turn around to you and say, I don't know you. You're a natural man. Unregenerated by the Spirit. Or would he turn around to you and say, well done. You're growing. And you're becoming mature. You're a spiritual person. Or friends, would he perhaps say to you, you're worldly. You're still governed by everything in the world. Your diet, the effects, all show the root. My mom went suddenly. It was a shock. She wasn't ill at all. Suddenly she was gone. And the realization is real, isn't it? You don't know when. Hey, my friends, you don't know when. And I want to say to you as your brother and as your friend. You must respond to this. And maybe we can spend just a few moments just quietly giving each other the opportunity to respond. If you are natural, then I want to say to you, why don't you come home today? If you've let it slip and you've got your priorities all screwed up, I want to say to you, come back and let us all grow into spiritual people. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Let's pray together, and then Tom is going to come forward. Let's pray. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, Lord. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. We sing that song, and today we want you to do it again. Lord, help us to have that incredible desire to grow closer to God. In Jesus' name. Amen.